Step out of the blur. This morning I'm going to be sharing a sermon that I've just simply put, putting first things first. Haggai chapter 1 over in the Old Testament. It's a book that we don't look at very often. It's a very brief book. But I want us to look at verse 1 through 14. Let the Lord speak to you through His Word. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to Haggai, the prophet of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, "Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, This people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." And then the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and the temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat but do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. He who earns wages to put into a bag or to a pocket with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came too little. And when you brought it home, it blew away. Why, says the Lord of hosts, because my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withhold its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, and on the grain, and on the new wine and the oil, and on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. And so the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and they worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for an opportunity we've had to worship you and now to read your word. Speak to our hearts in a simple message that you gave me, putting first things first. But you gave it to me to share with your people. So may we be attentive. Allow your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. And then at the appropriate time, Lord, make those most important decisions that you'd have us to make. And we make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. A guy by the name of E.M. Gary, he spent his lifetime, I think I might have shared this illustration one other time, but Gary spent his lifetime searching for the one trait that successful people had. And his research revealed that one common denominator that all successful people share is not their hard work, and it's not just a charismatic personality. But the number one factor that all successful people had was putting first things first. So the book of Haggai is the second shortest book in the Old Testament. The message is real simple in the book. The message shows the importance of putting first things first. It was written to a group of people, no doubt like us. A group of people who would say, if asked, I believe with all my heart that God should be first in every person's life. However, the people of God drifted away from that truth. The point is, they lived with misplaced priorities. Now, I want you to get the setting. Haggai's audience, they were Jews. Jews had been in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. Now they've been freed from Babylon, and they're able to go back to their homeland, Jerusalem, for one purpose, and that was to rebuild the temple. And so they're back in their land, and they begin to clear the debris around that temple. The Samaritans, their neighbors, asked if they could help them clear the land. They said, no, we can do it ourselves. But they stopped the work, and years passed. And all of a sudden, years kept going, people kept coming, and the city kind of came to life again, but no temple. Homes were built, stores were opened, commerce was established, fields were planted, crops, harvest. Life was just normal like it was in the old days. But the people became accustomed of having no temple, having no church, so to speak. And so the foundation just became overgrown with weeds. Now, remember this. It took 16 years after the people went back until Haggai came on the scene with this message. Here was his message. It's time to finish rebuilding the temple. That was his message. It was a message of priorities. The message was real simple. You need to put things first. You need to put first things first. Not just things. You need to put first things first. Now listen, for God's temple to lie in ruins was evidence of a misplaced priorities. Now this morning, let me ask you a question. Are your priorities in order? Are your priorities in order? Is the first thing first? Is God first in your life? And so this morning we want to look at some practical steps in putting first things first. Now remember, it's always easy to make excuses when you don't want to obey God. I mean, that started way back with Adam and Eve and the serpent. So it's easy to make excuses if you don't want to obey God. And the devil will always have you to justify to do what, not do what God wants you to do. Let me say that again. The devil will always have you to justify not to do all things that God wants you to do. Such as, you may say, well, I have a family responsibility right now, and I've got some other things to do. Or you might say, well, we've got school tomorrow, and we really can't take part in that right now. Or my kids need me more right now. Or when things kind of settle down at work, well, then things will be better for me to do things that God wants me to do. So the first step in putting first things first is to admit our responsibility. So first of all, if you're taking notes, step number one is don't make excuses. Don't make excuses. Step number two, to put first things first, is cease or stop being selfish. Stop being selfish. Now, Haggai challenged the selfish mindset of God's people in verses 3 through 9. And notice he said, hey, you have paneled houses. Now, that's an important word, paneled. Paneled means covered. Actually, you have finished houses. It's more than blackening a house. I mean, you've got your house ready. It's paneled. It's covered. It's all set to go. They're paneled houses. So the point is, your houses are not in the process of being built. You're finished with your house. You're finished. Weeds are not growing up on your concrete slab. You're finished with your house. Your homes are complete, while the temple remains literally non-existent for 16 years. Now, nothing's wrong in having a nice house. We can have a nice house. What's wrong is having a nice house while the house of God lies in ruins. That was the issue. You see, what's wrong is spending all the money on selfish wants while ignoring the things of God. That's the issue. What's wrong is spending your time or spending your best hours or spending your talents and your natural abilities on selfish pursuits while the things of God are left undone. That's the problem. That's misplaced priorities. So it's real easy, if you're not careful, to drift away from God's agenda to your own agenda. What you want instead of what God wants. In fact, it's the default mode of our life, selfishness. You know, all of us perhaps have a cell phone and we have a default ring and we probably have a ring for our children or maybe our wife or a friend that's calling, but we have this default ring that comes to us. Well, we give no thought how we're living. We just naturally default to ourselves. We live like we want to live. And so with that in mind, remember that the bent of our heart, the direction of our heart, is always bent towards selfishness. Always bent towards selfishness. So the question is today, is your heart bent toward God or is it bent toward you? What you want instead of what God wants. And so, friend, this is what happened to God's people in which Haggai addressed. And I'm afraid this is what's happening to some of you. Your heart's been in the wrong direction. I mean, we have our paneled houses. They're finished. We have our nice vehicles. We have our adult toys. We have our money properly situated and IRAs and CDs. And our investment portfolio looks real good. While at the same time, the church struggles to meet its budget. Unable to have a parking lot sealed and striped. Unable to have carpet cleaned or tile floor stripped and re-waxed. Unable to build a playground. Unable to finish a kitchen with a pavilion. William Cowper said it the right way when he penned these words. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God above. Have you left the God above? He goes ahead with that verse and he says this, here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. Has your heart been sealed for God and Him alone? So to put things first, stop making excuses, cease from being selfish, and then number three, take a note, don't miss God's blessing, but avoid His discipline. Now, let's look at the consequences of their excuse-making and their selfish living. Look at chapter 1. Look at verse 5. Verse 5 says this. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord, consider your ways. Okay? You've left my temple to itself, foundation, for 16 years. Now, consider your ways. And he says in verse 6, you've sown much and you bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one's warm. And he who earns wages, kindly earns wages and puts it in a bag or puts it in their pocket like it has a hole in it. They sowed plenty of seed, but the crops didn't yield. They had an active lifestyle, but there's no satisfaction. They were working, but they weren't profiting anything. And so listen, no matter how hard they tried, they just kept spinning their wheels in what they were doing. No matter how much money they made, they couldn't keep it. Didn't have enough. They couldn't keep it. Why is that? Because they miss God's blessings because of selfishness. Haggai reminded them, consider your ways. Remember what happens in your hearts. Every other part of yourself is affected. Whatever's going on in your heart, it affects your whole life. The point is, their heart was bent toward selfishness and not toward God, and because of that, their life was affected in a negative way. So let me tell you how blind they were. Surely we're not this blind. They were so blind that they didn't see it was God that caused their predicament. They were blind. Romans 15:4, listen to this. Romans 15:4 says this. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning. You got that? Everything written before has been written for our learning, that we will make some adjustments in our life if we need to. Everything written before was written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. And so God's people, in the days of Haggai, they didn't stop and consider when He said, consider this. God's trying to tell them something. God's trying to tell us something today. He says, listen, consider Haggai 1. Consider, stop. And Haggai, he was screaming, perhaps the message, it's God who controls the rain. It's God who controls the harvest. He's withholding blessings because your priorities are not right in your life. Well, things may be going hunky-dory right now, but they're not going to always be that way. But His temple is first, and He will bless you, He says. Jesus said basically the same thing in Matthew 6:33. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, all the things that you need, shall be added unto you. So the point is, blessings come through obedience, and the removal of blessings for the believer comes from disobedience. So the meaning, if you want to experience blessings, just put Him first. Just put Him first. First, stop making excuses. Cease being selfish. Don't miss God's blessing and avoid His discipline. And number four, take time to evaluate. Verse 7 says, consider your ways. Take time this morning. Is God number one in your life? Is He first in your life? Consider your ways. Verse 7, consider your ways. The word consider means to give careful thought. Don't mean to brush over it. Just say, hey, I need to really consider my ways, because God needs to be number one in my life if I'm going to receive His blessings instead of His discipline. Consider your ways. Stop. That's what He's saying. Evaluate your life in light of God's Word. Take God's Word, read it, and see how your life compares with it. Every day, evaluate how you spend your time. Evaluate how you spend your money. Evaluate how you spend your natural abilities, your spiritual gifts. Evaluate who your friends are. Evaluate what your goals are. Evaluate who's in your circle of friendship. Evaluate. Where you going? Evaluate. Remember, if God's not first, guess who removed Him from His rightful place in your life? You did. We did. And in closing, I have one more if you're taking notes. Number five, how do we know that God is first place? Now, how do I know? I think I have Him first place. How do I know that He's first place? Three things. Number one, are you active in doing the right things? Verse 8. Are you active in doing the right things? Verse 8 says, go up to the mountain, bring wood, and build the temple, that I may have pleasure in it and be glorified, said the Lord. Has there been a change in your life? Have you made a change in doing the right things? Are you on the right road now? Or have you put Him first? Is He first now? That's good. There's a time to talk about it. There's a time to think about it. But there's a time to just actually do it. God, I'm going to put You first place in my life. And those who put God first place, they put first things first, are doing the right thing. Are you doing the right thing? You spending time in God's Word? Are you serving God's people? Are you serving God with your gifts and with your talents? With your finances? Are you doing the right things? Now notice, for the Jews, it meant the right thing was go cut trees and build God's house. So how do you know that you're putting God first? First of all, you're active in doing the right things. Very simple. Secondly, you're glorifying God. God is glorified. So when God is not first, then God is not glorified. Everything you say, everything you think, everything that I do is to honor and bring glory to God. And so, friend, whatever your occupation is, your chief business is to glorify God in that occupation. Don't matter if you're self-employed, don't matter if you work in a factory, don't matter if you work at the school, I don't care. Whatever you do, we're to glorify God in it. And then third, how do you know if God's first? God blesses us. God blesses us. Now look how he blesses us in verse 13. Verse 13 says, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, here's what God said to them. After they went and cut wood, he says, I am with you, says the Lord. When God's people obey, you'll be satisfied, and you'll hear his spirit will bear witness with your spirit, and he'll say, I'm with you. I'm with you. Here's the point. If God seems to be distant to you this morning, your priorities are real mixed up. When you put God first, you're going to experience a new awareness of God. You'll talk about how God's with you and how you met with God today. God'll be with you. Sometime back, our youth directors, Corey and Shane Clay, they did an illustration for our youth. And they took this wide mouth jar. And first of all, they put these fist-sized rocks in that jar. Maybe not that large. Had to fit in that wide mouth jar. They put those rocks in the top of that jar until that jar was filled. The question, was the jar full? And then they added some small gravel, and this gravel just kind of filled the spaces between those big rocks. Well, was the jar filled? Well, then they added sand, and this sand filled the gaps between those large rocks and the gravel. Well, was the jar full? Well, then they took some water, and they added water to the large rocks, to the gravel, to the sand, and the water came up to the top of the jar. And so the point is, if the big rock was not added first, they couldn't have gotten all the other in. You say, well, Brother Sammy, what should be my priorities? Here's the way you have a full and meaningful life. Here's your priorities. I jotted these down in order they follow in the Bible. Check me out. Your first priority is God. He's got to be in there first. That's a big rock. God. Jesus said in Luke 14:26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brother and sister and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple, a follower of mine. So Jesus has to be first. He's number one on your priority list. Is he? Is he number one on your priority list? He says, unless he's first, you can't be a disciple of his. Second, you'll find your spouse is second. Spouse is number two. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. When Adam and Eve came together and were married, listen to what God's word says. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That word there shall leave his father and mother and be joined, also cleave is used in other translations, and they shall be one flesh. The word cleave means to join together. It really means to glue. It means to adhere. You come together. I wear this wedding band not to show you that I'm married. Anybody can wear a wedding band, but primary purpose for this wedding band to let you know that half of me is somewhere else. Judah and I are joined together. We've been joined together by God. So God first, then your spouse. What comes next? Your children. Now in the Bible, you're taught to have children and then to teach your children all the things about God and serving God. Being saved, serving God, serving people, serving God and serving people, serving the church. You're to teach your children to do that. Are you teaching your children to do that? So you got God, you got your spouse, you got your children, and then you got your church. The church is fourth. Serve the Lord in the church. He loved the church. He gave himself for the church. He gave you a spiritual gift to serve the church. Serve the church. Are you serving the church? If you're not, your priorities are out of order. And then he gives us a job. He wants us to work for a living. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says this, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially those of his own household, is worse than an infidel." You're not an infidel. He says you're worse than one. So God expects you to work and provide for your family. And so you have God, you have your spouse, you have your children, you have your church, you have your job. And then sixth, I just jotted down things that really don't matter to God. Your pleasure don't matter to God. Your recreation, that don't matter to God. Those things that don't matter, that's last. So the point is, if you're out of order of the first one, then all of your priorities are out of order. All. You may put your spouse before God. You may put your children before your spouse. Or you may put, I don't know if church ever goes before really anything. For a lot of people, some it does, thank God. But it really falls in line in number four. You know, we're supposed to go to church. You know, Hebrews 10:25 says for us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together in the manner of some, but meet even more as we see the day approaching. Are you coming to church? Well, I come on Sunday morning. Well, we're open on Sunday night too. Are you coming Wednesday night? That's prayer time. That's discipleship time. That's when your children are learning back here. You come to church. Our deacons are expected to be at services, all services. We've set them aside to be spiritual leaders in the church. My goodness gracious, they come to the services. Teachers, you can't teach Hebrews 10:25 as a teacher and then not come to church. Deacons, potential deacons. It's difficult now in churches to find a potential deacon. You know why? One requirement is they're faithful in church. I talk to preachers all the time. They have that trouble. So where is that? Where's church on the list? Attendance. Being involved, being active in church. So the question is this. Do you want to be successful in life? You want to have a full, meaningful life, a full fruit jar type of life. Haggai's message from God is the same message to us today. Consider your words. Think about what you're doing. Put first things first. Stop making excuses. Stop being selfish. Avoid God's discipline. And then take time out to evaluate. And make sure I'm active in the right things and God's been honored and glorified in my life and God's blessing me with His presence every day. That's how to put first things first. Need to change some priorities. I feel like we do. individually as a church. So pray for me, pray for our church, that we can get back doing what we were doing for God until this thing COVID came along. We beat that dead horse to death again. Heavenly Father, I thank you for a time that we can come together this morning and worship you, and now you've spoken to our hearts. Help us, Lord, today to make a decision once and for all to put first things first. God first, our spouse, our children. Lord, our job. Lord, help us to get in order what you would have us to have first in our life. And Lord, self comes in last. It's not about us. That's called selfishness. So help us to put everything in order as you've listed them for us. Be with us as we make decisions today, life-changing decisions, wanting a full and meaningful life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, again, I want to thank you for viewing our worship service. If you'd like to know how you could come to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, please feel free to contact our church at the address listed. We also encourage you to visit our website. Thank you, and may God bless you.